Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome for being with us. We're coming to you live as we do every Monday at this time. Thanks for listening and being part of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines. It's always great talking about the Eastern family, both old and new. Remember, you can always listen to the radio show on your computer by going to www.ealradioshow.com or on our sponsor's website, www.REPA.com. Of course, this is the Retired Eastern Pilots Association's website. The other way is to just call into the radio show's live online phone number, 213-816-1611. This will put you right into the queue with other callers. You may even want to join the conversation or ask the host or guest a question. We encourage you to add to our show by joining us live on the air. Now, let's get flight number 280 into the air. Beverly.
Captain, we've completed the cabin departure announcements and we're secure for departure.
Thank you, Beverly. Don, would you call Miami Tower and tell them we're ready for takeoff?
Miami Tower, Eastern 280 is ready for takeoff.
Roger, Eastern 280. Winds are from the west at 5 knots, and you're clear for takeoff on runway 27 left.
Roger, Miami Tower, Eastern 280, confirmed runway 27 left, and we're on the roll.
What's happening with the TV show? You come up with anything?
No, nothing.
What if they have salsa on the table? What do you need
salsa for? Salsa is now the number one condiment in America.
Do you know why? Because people like to say salsa. Excuse me, do you have any salsa? We need more salsa. Where's the salsa? No salsa.
You know, it must be impossible for a Spanish person to order seltzer and not get salsa.
I wanted seltzer, not salsa. Don't you know the difference between seltzer and salsa? You have the seltzer after the salsa.
This should be the show. This is the show.
What?
This. Just talk.
Yeah, right.
No, I'm really serious. I think that's a good idea.
Just talking? Well, what's the show about?
It's about nothing.
No story?
No, forget the story.
You gotta have a story.
Who says you gotta have a story? Remember when we were waiting for that table in that Chinese restaurant that time? That could be a TV show.
And who's on the show? Who are the characters?
I could be a character.
You?
Yeah, you base a character on me.
So on the show, there's a character named George Costanza?
Yeah. What, there's something wrong with that? I'm a character. People are always saying to me, you know, you're quite a character.
And who else is on the show?
Elaine could be a character. Kramer.
Now, he's a character. So everybody I know is a character on the show.
Right.
And it's about nothing.
Absolutely nothing.
So you're saying I go into NBC and tell them I got this idea for a show about nothing.
We go into NBC.
We? Since when are you a writer?
What writer? We're talking about a sitcom.
You want to go with me to NBC?
Yeah, I think we really got something in.
What do we got?
An idea.
What idea?
An idea for the show.
I still don't know what the idea is.
It's about nothing.
Right.
Everybody's doing something. We'll do nothing.
So we go into NBC, we tell them we got an idea for a show about nothing.
Exactly.
They say, what's your show about? I say, nothing.
There you go.
I think you may have something here.
Well, our show tonight is about anything you want to talk about, but we refer to this as open microphone, but sometimes it does turn into a show about nothing. And actually, we've done a show about nothing. That was the title of one of our broadcasts. And we'd like to start off a review of some past episodes that we've had, because this is our 280th broadcast, and we've had so many different subjects along the way for over 5 years now. And these episodes our host enjoyed taking part in, and perhaps you would like to add your favorite. If you can identify a favorite subject we've covered, then we want to hear about it. After all, we have broadcast nearly almost 300 live broadcasts. Now, before we get into our show tonight, let's listen to another wonderful Eastern commercial.
It's Sunday in Mexico. The sun floods an arena. The historic duel is on. The sun spotlights a diver at Acapulco. Referees a children's game at the pyramids of Teotihuacan. The sun warms a beautiful mermaid in Puerto Rico and covers the vacation paradise of Miami. Every year, more people choose this one to the sun because Eastern service is as warm as the destination.
Fly Eastern, number one to the sun.
We hope before very long we'll be hearing some new commercials by the new Eastern Airlines Group. And I'm sure there'll be quality commercials like in the past. You know, I have three favorite episodes that we did over the past 5.5 years, and I think we'll probably discuss those three tonight as we talk about some of the episodes that we've actually done, and perhaps it will be a reminder of that episode, but we want to do a little bragging tonight about these shows because they've been really good, and we've had the dedication of so many of our Eastern folks, both listeners and hosts, hosts being regular folks that come and join us every Monday. They may have a part, they may not have a part, but at any rate, we want to talk about some of the past episodes. Chuck, how about starting us off?
I sure can. Back in episode 17, it was dedicated to the idea about putting Eastern back in the air. As talks continue, that it may actually happen in 2012. We wanted to have our listeners put in their opinion as to where and what type of aircraft would operate. Great ideas of an initial flight structure were discussed by the host and callers to the show. A wonderful call-in show with excellent ideas we hope the new owners of Eastern would consider. It was obvious during the show that we definitely wanted Eastern back in the air, and all agreed it would happen. Now, in episode 18, some of our early shows like introduced characters like Luann Wiggins and Habib Abdul, Mick O'Malley. This was episodes in one of those funny flights with emphasis on what our flight attendants sometimes have to put up with. Humorous announcements are often done by those even of the flight deck, as you will hear during this episode. Some of our hosts were talented by being able to speak the various dialects often used on our show. Episode 21, this was a good time to talk about airline food and catering and who offered the best service. This episode also recalled early catering, food service on Eastern flights. Eastern was the second airline to have in-flight meals, United being the first. A brief description of our caterer, Hot Shops, they're now called Marriott, who served our flights out of Washington, D.C. On episode 25, our first episode starring an Eastern aircraft from the many used in its history, we chose the Super G Constellation and flown by our cast of Eastern radio actors. All you need to know about this passenger favorite airplane is brought out in this episode. Steve?
Yes, well, episode 26, Chuck, in this episode we based our skit on an Eastern aircraft, which is a DC-3 DST sleeper. Captain Hassan Callaway, based in Atlanta, was the captain, and the anecdote is based upon the actual flight when a passenger went missing somewhere between Atlanta and Birmingham. Now, the gentleman actually was on board, and when found, was in the upper sleeping compartment with a young lady he had convinced to share the bunk on his leg of the flight.
Be careful.
All of our skits involving Eastern Fleet, many aircraft makes and models, we share the aircraft specifications with our listeners and get as close to the actual accounting the story as we can. Now, episode 27 begins or brings two Eastern legends together, Captain Dick Merrill and Captain Gene Brown. Two mail wing flights take off, one from Richmond southbound and the other northbound out of Atlanta. Now, they meet in Greensboro, where Gene asks Dick which animal was along for the flight with him on his flight. It was a squirrel. Dick asked Gene if he had heard of Johnny Keitel landing on top of Stone Mountain. Gene acknowledges that fact, and when Keitel was that Keitel had walked down off the mountain with a mailbag. In this episode, we introduce sound effects. Also in the episode, we learn of early navigational aids used for night flights and airways, as well as specifications of the Pitcairn mail wing aircraft. Episode 29 was a fun trip on Eastern Flight 29, a Boeing 727-200 airplane, for the crew that all joined the captain for a trip up to Timberline Lodge at Mount Hood, Oregon, for their long layover. There they are joined by several other Eastern employees to tell stories of legendary Captain Bill Malone. Also, to Ski Lodge, they meet up with Captain Mick O'Malley, with Aer Lingus, who had a great Irish dinner at the LAX Irish Pub on an earlier occasion. Some of the best and funniest Bill Malone stories came from Captain G. Dennis Ledbetter, the first officer on many flights out west to Seattle and Portland, and was a real live general in the United States Air Force. Facts about Timberline Lodge and other points of interest on the flight are described by the crew. Episode 30, the skit recalled the final Cuban airlift flight with two of the original crew members on the show. Eastern Lockheed Electras were used mostly during the several years Eastern brought out over 260,000 people to freedom from Cuba to Miami. This skit was based on the last flight out of Cuba, as remembered by the captain and first officer who flew that flight. It's also a story of the Lockheed L-188 Electra and its contribution to the Eastern story, and how it was a workhorse in the Washington, New York, Boston shuttle. a great episode for all of you Electra admirers, of which I was one. Great one. Dorothy.
Episode number 32 is the beginning of what would become an institution on commercial aircraft, the flight attendant. Only in the early days, say around 1931, they were called air hostesses or simply hostess. Episode 32's skit is based on actual conversation by those responsible for the formation of this department and description of their training. Go on their first instructional flight in Curtis Condor, and the actual crew, pilot Frank Jourdan and John Armstrong at the controls. They had 1 year to prove they were needed for passenger flights with Eastern Air Transport, and indeed they proved their place in commercial aviation. Lots of description and history of the host service with Eastern and other airlines are shared in this episode. Great sound effects of the Condor engine starting up from up, found by our producer, Eric Otero. If you were a flight attendant, you have got to hear this episode. Episode 38, if you didn't know that Eastern had its own DB Cooper way back in 1933, then you must listen to episode 38. It happened near Charlestown, South Carolina, when an Eastern Air Transport passenger leaped out of a tri-motor Stinson aircraft. You'll be surprised at some of the characters involved with the search for the missing passenger that day and the next several weeks. Vivo Howard, who later became one of America's top-rated acrobatic pilots, was one of them. A true story that would make a good movie about weird events in the annals of airline history. The cast did a great job recreating the actual story and people involved. The original story was written by the late John P. Engle, who had just been hired at the Charleston base. John later became marketing manager and station manager in Jacksonville. Listen to episode 38 for this thriller. Episode 42, well, this was funny and frightening, was episode 42 with the Halloween show. The skit has the aircraft with a crew of 13, which is the unlucky number, and 300-plus passengers taken over by Bermuda Triangle Center. This flight was Atlanta to SJU, bound wind diverter by powers beyond the ability of the crew to resist, and instructed to land at an airport in the middle of the Bermuda Triangle called BTA Toll Number 4. Or Bermuda Triangle International Airport. The escort upon arrival in this airspace was none other than the lost squadron of 5 Navy aircraft and their pilots. Upon entering the terminal, the crew is greeted by Amelia Earhart, who was a victim of the DSA Toll Number 3 in the Pacific Ocean. You'll enjoy this story based on factual information of the surreal Bermuda Triangle. Again, another great performance of cast and producer with chilling sound effects. Episode 49, December 2011, was the Polar Flight 2011, originating with Captain Santa and crew on a worldwide flight in this episode. A great flight plan. Crew reading the before starting DARE checklist and other normal flight operation duties to get the sleigh craft into the air. This should be our regular Christmas offering each year. Great music and sound effects to put the listener into the proper Christmas Eve mood. Jim?
Wow, episode 54 highlights Eastern's largest charter operation to Mexico City in the show's historical importance. In this episode, developed by the company's lead coordinator of this 1965 operation, I had the pleasure to help to coordinate this entire episode using the Douglas DC-821. It carried 159 passengers. Eastern moved over 15,000 people to and from Mexico City in an 18-day period. We joined the Eastern flight crew as they depart Atlanta and meet several conventioners en route. Even the flight plan communication and data is as factual as research allowed. This is a two-part episode. I feel a deep feeling when I hear about this, and I look back at the time when, in 1963, a $1 million flight of this type was the first in the airline industry. Episode number 55, the crew enjoyed their layover at the Myra Isabel Hotel and gets a cooked tour by the new friend, Captain Hector Santa Maria, with Mexicana Airlines. The episode is part two of the Massey Ferguson distributor and the dealer convention to Mexico City. Jim Hart, that's me, and my recall of the 1965 charter by Eastern is the basis for the description of the historical and scenic parts in Mexico City and nearby. You want to listen to both parts number one and two, and number one and two. And remember now, all of this is in our archives with the Eastern Airlines Radio Network. Episode number 56, nearly the entire one-hour show, was an interview with Mr. Floyd Hall, Eastern president, from 1963 to 1965. Callers and host asked Mr. Hall questions, and he responded with vigor and enthusiasm. We hope that to be able to have him on with us often. Captain John Scherer and his music was presented with questions answered about his band called Big John Scherer and his Blue Side Up Band. Episode number 61, a passenger foils a host of the county jewels. Sometimes the best security is what that of those who may be passengers on your flight. Listen to hear what triggered a passenger to suspicion while another passenger on the same flight should be investigated. This led to an arrest of one passenger and a hero treatment of another passenger, knowing that something was not right. Episode number 62, an Eastern charter flight with the Miami Hurricanes versus Hurricane Gloria. Oh, wow. Which will you win out? We'll enjoy this actual trip by one of our hosts. New coach Jimmy Johnson is not too happy about the captain's decision. The flight was a surprise ending you'll not want to miss. Steve.
Miami Center, we've just lost our number three engine. The Lockheed 1011 check captain transmitted to the controller. They're without any power, all three engines dead. As exciting a radio show as can be, and not be in the cockpit of the Eastern Flight 855. To fly with the crew and passengers when things go from bad to worse, to a nightmare in just a few short minutes. Now, the real story about the remarkable flight and the crew. Excellent performance by the crew, by the
and
cast.
Steve, before you go further, Steve, I'd like to say that story was written by Steve Thompson, who just delivered that last episode, 63, I think it was, Steve, and a brilliant job of writing. And also, you were the check captain on that flight. And personally, I think that episode should be made into a movie, Steve. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Thank you for that, Neil. If you want to learn what's happening at the New Eastern, this is your episode number 64. After your host cast delivered a skit of our thoughts about putting Eastern back in the skies, Mr. Ed Weigel, now president of Eastern Airlines, came on and brought us up to date on where the new company is and what's happening up to this point. Roots pardon me just a second here. I lost my...
Routes the new airline will be flying.
Yeah, Routes the new airline will be flying. And Steve, it talks about polls taken in the Miami area about the Eastern name recognition. And have you found that part in the script?
What is the episode number, please?
It's number 64.
Which one?
About midway down.
64.
What episode
64.
Number?
64. Do you mind if I finish that episode 64?
If you want to hear, if you want to learn what's happening, the New Eastern, this is your episode. After your host cast delivered a skit of our thoughts about putting Eastern back in the sky, Mr. Ed Weigel, now president of Eastern Airlines, came on and brought us up to date on where the new company is and what's happening, what's happened up to this point. Routes the new airline will be flying, polls taken in the Miami area about the Eastern name recognition, and this will surprise you. And much more has gone over by Mr. Ed Weigel. A wonderful tribute to the end of the nearly 1.5-hour show for Floyd Hall was shared by your hosts and callers. You'll not want to miss this episode. New Eastern Airlines Startup Team, episode number 65, meets the investor and each discuss the roles in putting the airline back in the air. All of the team learn of the connection between Mr. Munchie, the investor, and Captain Eddie Rickenbacker. An amazing story of fate for the investor and a new startup carrier. Listen to part two and enjoy it. Don't miss part one. Then you can tune in anytime through the radio episodes archive. Episode 66, the celebration party. The investor and a new Eastern employee meet at Doral Country Club Banquet Hall for the celebration of Eastern's receiving its DOT and FAA authority as a new Part 121 carrier. Comments by each of the department and VPs and the directors, and much applause for the investor are heard during the dinner event, last in a series of three.
You know, my
Neil's
comment
comments
here
about
is,
three episodes.
Yeah, Steve, those three episodes, we came up with the idea that, since Eastern, the new Eastern group with their investors were trying to start up an airline, we thought we would start our own little Eastern Airlines with our own little series of shows as to how a person or investors go about putting together an airline and get it certified and get it approved by the DOT and the FAA. And so we put these three episodes together, did it over a period of 3 weeks, and by golly, it sounds so real that people were actually calling us and emailing us. When is the airline starting? When is the airline started? They actually thought that we were talking about something that was happening. So the actors, and they were actors because they had parts, did such a great job that it sounded like, hey, this was going to happen. And we were just kind of like the Hindenburg, you know, and or not the Hindenburg, but that actually happened. But Orson Welles, that's who I was trying to think about. Talking about
the world
was coming to an end, and
yeah,
people were actually believing it and calling us about it as if we knew when the new Eastern was going to start. We just kind of made up these three episodes, and by golly, I think it was accepted by those that listened to our show. So you guys taking part in three episodes did a great job. And it was almost believable, almost believable. Beverly?
Yes, for episode 83, a true story aboard an Eastern aircraft from Orlando to Newark.
Our skit tonight is titled Deadly Virus on Flight 587. You'll want to listen in as the cast tells this in-flight drama. Episode 84, The 10 Most Famous Aircraft of All Time. Have you ever considered such a list? Episode 84 gives you an opinion of one of the greatest aviation historians of our time. You will be surprised, or maybe not, at the aircraft talked about on our broadcast. Tune in to see how many of our list, how many on your list, makes the 10 best aircraft of all time. Episode 85, A Nostalgic Journey Through the Decades with Eastern Airlines. Remember Eastern through the ages along with the music, news, radio programs, advertising, and much more. You'll want to listen in and see if you can remember these sounds of yesteryear. Flight 1920, our southbound flight, and Flight 1930 will be the northbound trip for our listeners. Be at the gate for a 4 p.m. departure. That's a 7 p.m. departure. Flight episode number 86, the 1950s and 60s, will be the decades traveled through Eastern's history tonight, along with music, news, current events, and radio programs broadcast over radio. We thread the history of Eastern into these exciting times most of us remember. Many of us were hired by Eastern during the 50s and 60s. I was one of them. Come along with us on EAL Flight 86. We depart the gate at 7 p.m. Monday night, October 8th, a date made famous by another traveler, Christopher Columbus. Episode 86, Part 2, is a journey through the history of Eastern in the 60s and 70s. We fly through the decades with history and sounds of the past that you will recognize if this is your generation. Your radio hosts bring you these highlights along with callers to the show. Be on board as we bring you this fourth in the series. Our Flight 87 departs from the gate at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. We hope you'll be on board. Episode 87 is the last episode in the series of four through the decades beginning in the 1920s. Our show tonight carries us through the 80s and early 90s when Eastern went out of business. Take the final flight with us tonight when we depart from the gate at 7 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. George?
George, let me see if I've opened his microphone. Well, I don't guess he's with us tonight, but episode 90, yeah, he might be. Episode 90 is a mid-air crew change. Can you believe changing a crew in midair? The captain and first officer become incapacitated in the exciting episode, in this exciting episode of what could happen, and with the outcome highly possible in our new airliners of today. Be with us for 90 Monday at 7 p.m. Episode 92, follow a new Eastern captain's rating check ride in this two-part series. You'll hear how the oral phase and the flight phase is conducted. Also, relive the Eastern cafeteria and Traveler's Hotel pool bar activities in this episode 92. We broadcast live Monday, November 26th at 7 p.m. Be sure to be on board. In episode 93, we call it the flight check. And that's the title of the program that night. Last in the series, the captain candidate must demonstrate to the company and the FAA his proficiency to be a pilot in command of a multi-million dollar aircraft and the lives of hundreds of passengers and crew members. Experience the emergency situations given to our captain candidate as he handles many different scenarios in the simulator. At the end of the skit, we have a very special guest to answer questions if you would like to call in. Captain Whitey John, Eastern Boeing 757 FAA designee, will be our guest. As a matter of fact, he gave me my type rating in the Boeing 757. We hope you'll be along for the flight Monday, the December 3rd. Episode 94 starts out by saying, This is your captain. Those on the left side of the aircraft have a good view of the lights of New Orleans. Those on the right side have a view of an orange glowing light flying about 100 yards off our right wingtip. As you can see, it's long and cylindrical in shape and is making quick movements about our airplane. How would this affect the rest of your flight if you heard the captain make this announcement? Our show tonight is about true UFO stories as told by airline pilots having seen these recorded appearances. And one of them was an Eastern captain. Listen in and call in if you have your own encounter with these unidentified flying objects. We're live Monday night at 7 p.m. Episode 97. Thanks for the memories, Eastern. And there were many, many memories. Join your host in tonight's show as we recall the golden memories of our beloved airline. Add your own during the show as we welcome your call during the show. Call us at our normal number, 213-816-1611. Tune us in at EALRadioShow.com. Our show tonight closes out another year on the air. We're going into our third year and have really enjoyed sharing news and memories with our Eastern family. Happy New Year to all of us. Your hosts for that episode were Jim Hart, Margaret Bars, Bill Joseph, Jan Buchkai, Steve Thompson, Chuck Albright, Howard Mutry, and myself, Neil Holland. And then episode 98. Airport 2013 should be the title of this airline humor. Listen in and see if you can identify any of these quips and back at you repartee. Join us with your own airport and airplane funny story. We depart from the gate at exactly 7 p.m. Well, that's the first 100 broadcasts. We've just given you a few of the first 100. Of course, not all 100, but the first few 100. And that represents about 2 years on the air, which we are now in our 5.5 year time now. And we still have more stories to tell. Folks, those are but a few programs we presented in the first 100 episodes and in the first 2 years, but we've had so many more. We've had stories about Christmas, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Independence Day, Veterans Day, Memorial Day, and just about every national holiday. We've had shows about golfing, fishing, writing novels, and interviewing authors, Eastern presidents, Eastern Air Shuttles, the weather, maintenance, Miami, New Orleans, Los Angeles, New York City, aircraft companies, Moonlight Specials, 9/11, EAL Flight 401, and CEOs and chief executive officers of other major airlines. And yes, even shows about nothing, as we started our show tonight, shows about nothing. But every show is different. Every show was different. And we even made fun of our own radio show by calling it, as we still call it today, Kitchen Table Radio. We've had music. We've had special sound effects. We've had airline jingles and ads. These that we've just delivered, mentioned to you tonight, and much, much more. And your crew has delivered almost every week for 5.5 years. Thanks so much for all that have shared in our broadcast. We thank you so much because you've made Eastern history alive Because, and it's still alive, because you can go back to each one of these archives of 280 tonight, 280 episodes of the EAL radio show, and listen to any of these. And you'll hear some very, very interesting stories, too many that we couldn't mention in the time of our broadcast tonight. Any thoughts from our host, those that have been with us, and our callers, perhaps? We've got a board full of callers from different area codes, so speak up. Let us know what your thoughts are. We're happy to serve you.
Neil, this is Jim. Neil, I remember the episode when we talked about the very first flights on the Eastern Airlines Air Shuttle. I was district manager in Washington, D.C., and I believe ours was the first airplane to fly from Washington to LaGuardia. And, of course, connected, if someone wanted to, with another shuttle going LaGuardia-Boston. There was really quite a bit of tension in our area in Washington, hoping that everything we did was the right way. And it really was. And I'm so happy to have been a part of the Eastern Airlines Air Shuttle on day one. Back to you, Neil.
Well, you know, we did a show about that Eastern Air Shuttle and a little bit about Malcolm McIntyre, who was president back in the day, and how it all came about, even from Eddie Rickenbacker thinking about it, because an idea was brought to him. And American Airlines was thinking about the Air Shuttle before Eastern actually put it into operations. So we did a show about that, and it was a fun show to do. It was a very successful operation, one of the most successful operations in the Eastern Airlines history. Great show, great show.
Well, it's kind of ironic, Neil, that American Airlines now has that shuttle. When it was thinking about it even before Eastern did, Eastern had it, and now American Airlines has it. Quite interesting. Full circle.
There you go. And, of course, when Eastern was going out of business, we sold the shuttle to Trump, and it was called the Trump Shuttle. And then, of course, Trump Shuttle was sold to U.S. Air. And Delta operated its own shuttle. A lot of competitors tried to operate, but not as successful as the Eastern Air Shuttle. I mean, the shuttle was almost like, if you wanted a soda, Coca-Cola was a soda. And if you called, if you wanted a soda drink, you just thought of Coca-Cola. Well, if you wanted to take the shuttle, it was an Eastern shuttle. So we got in first, and we really created a great market, and Eastern Airlines served that that operation, that part of the operation, with efficiency that was just unheard of in aviation, because one passenger walking out after the scheduled departure of a shuttle, one more person, they'd bring out a new airplane, and one person would actually fly from one of the airports to the other airport. And it became so reliable that people thought of Eastern Airlines when they thought of the shuttle. So it was a great operations, and a lot of people don't remember, but yeah, Steve.
Neil, an interesting story about that is that there were college students who were going to school in Washington whose parents were in New York, and they would go to the airport and put their laundry on the shuttle going to New York, and their parents would go to the airport and pick up their laundry and laundry it and then put it back on the shuttle and send it back to Washington.
If you say so, Steve, it happened. I had the I had the pleasure of being based temporarily, TDY, temporary duty, in New York from Atlanta. I was moved over to New York and was on the shuttle for about 3 months. And it was during the blizzard of 1978. And boy, what an interesting experience, because I had no idea as to how the shuttle actually operated. And it was remarkable how they really, really stayed with the scheduling, and they were really supporting one passenger. Like I said before, we get an airplane just for the ride if they missed one flight. So it was great. And of course, the ticketing was done. Just walk on the airplane and give them your credit card. How simple could it be? Oftentimes I'm asked how we put these radio shows together and deliver them online. It's not an easy job, although having done it now for 5.5 years, it's getting a little easier. But after the delivery of tonight's show, episode 280, tomorrow I'll start trying to think of a new subject that we haven't talked about. That's difficult because we've talked about every type of subject you can remember or you can conceive of almost. D.B. Cooper, we've talked about them all, the hijackings. And so the pressure is on for next Monday. The pressure.
Yeah, I have a suggestion.
Yes,
this is Jim. Do you know there was a time back in the mid-1960s when Dulles Airport was being built? There was a terrible uproar from the people in Baltimore because the people in Baltimore thought that Friendship Airport should be the next largest airport in the area. But when they looked ahead, when analysts looked ahead, Baltimore, as nice an airport as they had, could not compete and could not build what we have started in Dulles. So they actually, the Chamber of Commerce in Baltimore allocated $100,000 for ad campaigns to try to get people to forget about Dulles and come back to Friendship Airport in Baltimore. Well, we all know what happened. Dulles was built. I had the opportunity of being stationed in that area at the time that Dulles was being built. And the Dulles was, I think, one of the first airports where they actually transported passengers after they had checked in. They put them on a vehicle and took them way out on the airport property to board their airplanes. And I think that maybe one of our programs could highlight what took place between Baltimore and Washington. It was unbelievable. I could add to that because our company, Eastern, had asked me to bring our congressmen and senators out on the buses and so on to Dulles to show them what was going on. I'll leave it there because I have some funny things that have to do with our congressmen and senators. Okay.
Okay, Jim, maybe we'll talk about the congressmen and senators in another show, but you just brought to mind a show about airport development. And, you know, we have done shows, a show or two about airports. Do you remember the The show that we did about strange airports, who has the shortest runway, who has the longest runway, has the highest altitude, who has the lowest altitude, and who has the most treacherous crosswinds and blah, blah, blah. We've done a show on that about airports. And so, maybe Building Dulles, that's an interesting, that would be an interesting show because I remember coming to Washington. We didn't have a Dulles airport at that time. But by golly, it's made sense. And I remember those people movers. It's what we used to call the buses that went out to the airplane, brought the passengers back to the terminal and delivered the passengers to the airplanes. So it was a unique idea that worked, by golly. And Dulles is still there. It's the third airport there in the Washington metro area, Baltimore, Dulles, and National Airport, just like New York, LaGuardia, Kennedy, and Newark, three airports. Yeah. So there's another idea for a show. Yeah. And if you folks listening would like to make your suggestion as to what might be a good show, we'd like to hear it. We're open for ideas. And, I'm kind of missing those skits that we did in the past. I like those skits. Do you remember the skit where we had Johnny Cash on board? We had actually Johnny Cash was entertaining everybody that was... Huh?
Did he sing to you?
Well, he sang to the passengers. Yes, he did. And we had it was a good flight. We were in Atlanta during, it was a flight that I was on. A lot of these flights, these are not made up flights. These are true flights that we recall. And this particular flight, we took from Miami to Atlanta, and Atlanta was closed. We had to go to an alternate airport because we didn't have enough fuel to hang around Atlanta to see if the weather was going to improve so we could land. So my decision was, hey, let's go to Birmingham because that's our alternate airport. Well, at the time, everybody and his brother went to Birmingham. All airlines. You can't believe the airlines that were trying to get in Atlanta went to Birmingham. And we were on the ramp for hours. And during that time, we had Johnny Cash on board singing to our passengers and entertaining them. And so that was a great episode. I forgot which episode it was, but it was a good episode that we did. And we had the actors delivering that episode. So a lot of fun we've had. You guys that were with us from the beginning, there was me at the very beginning.
I was just going to ask you, who was there from the beginning?
Well, there was me, yours truly, just me, and I read a story from The Best of Repartee, the book that I had the privilege of co-authoring, from some of the stories that were written by Eastern employees. And that's all I had to work with. And then we decided that, hey, this might be, instead of a half-hour program, because back episodes 1, 2, and 3, we only did about a half-hour show. We didn't have any call-ins. We didn't have any listeners, really. We had, I think I could identify about 3 listeners. Because a radio show does have a way of identifying how many listeners we have per episode. And it's very respectable. And it's worldwide, as a matter of fact. So at the beginning, that's where it started. And it was just an idea. And it was an idea that I enjoyed doing, mainly because I was talking about my past employer. And it was part of my life. And I enjoyed talking about that part of my life, my family's life. And so it just got to be to the point that people were calling me or emailing me saying that, hey, that's an interesting idea. I'd like to be on your show I think the first person that I hired without pay, as you all are still without pay, including myself, was a United Airlines captain, Bud Hescock. And Bud had all sorts of different character voices. He could deliver a dialect wherever. I don't care what country represented in the Olympics. Bud Hescock could deliver that dialect. He was good. And so he was with us for a long time. Health problems came along, and he dropped out. And he still contacts me. He threatens to come over and visit me from time to time. And but then I got to Margaret Bars, and Margaret did a wonderful job. She was actually one of my employees here. And she did a wonderful job because she became the radio voice of Luann. She was from Kentucky, and she could speak Kentuckianese. That's what they call it. And she could talk like a real Kentuckian. And so she became Luann. And believe it or not, we actually had people that thought Margaret was a different character than Luann. And Luann was Luann, and Margaret was Margaret. And they did a wonderful job. She did a wonderful job on the show. And Margaret left a couple of years ago, and we miss Margaret. She was good on our radio show. And we had fun with that character, Luann, that Southern Belle. I remember an episode that she was out in Las Vegas, and she actually called in from Las Vegas. And she had the sounds of the one-armed bandits, you know, with the winners striking, pulling that lever and becoming the winner or whatever, and all the noises of the clanking of the coins and so forth. And it was a fun show. It was really a fun show. So we've had some good shows over the years. And they were good because we have good Eastern people. And like I say, not all the folks on our show were Eastern people. Bud was with United, and Captain Santa Maria that Jim brought up in one of the episodes was actually a captain from Air Mexico, I think it was, or the Mexican airliner there, whatever the national airline was. He actually came into the studio and did some acting work for us with the Spanish accent. And so we've had a good time, and hope, don't know what the future is going to be, but we hope we're still on the air for a few more episodes. And we hope that you guys are enjoying it, because I, as the producer, have enjoyed putting it on. And I just hope all of you guys, Steve and Chuck, you've been the very early people with the radio show. Thanks so much. And Steve, you've gone through so much, and with your sister, her health, and she's doing, for those that remember, Lynn had cancer, and she is cancer free. So we got that latest report tonight from Steve. So we're really happy for Lynn and John. So it's been because of you folks and Chuck and Bill Joseph way out in Colorado sometimes, and in the Tampa, St. Pete area sometimes. We miss you. There have been some folks that just couldn't do the show any longer that left the show. But we thank you all for being part of the EAL radio show. And we hope that once we sign off for good, we hope that there will be a new group of people with the new Eastern Airlines that will talk about their successes, like we talk about the successes that we had with our airline. Some good and some bad, but by golly, It was an airline that we still talk about and we still love. And if it doesn't bring a tear to your eyes, it sure does mine, folks.
Well,
I've got
one. Neil.
Yes.
You know, Eastern Airlines was an airlines of first, and you're the first radio show, so you really are one that everyone should commend for bringing Eastern a little bit further in everybody's mind, because at least people can hear about Eastern, where it would have died a long time ago without ERA and without folks like you and REPA and the Silver Liners and Sea Pockets to keep everyone going, knowing Eastern. So we all thank you immensely for what you do.
Well, thanks, Dorothy. And you're right, EARA has been a tremendous keeper of the history of Eastern Airlines and bringing it out to the people in the form of the printed media. And over the years, it's done a great job since the founder, I think his name was John DeRosa.
Right.
And Vito Borelli. And the president and the ones between Vito and Michael Zoll have done a great job of delivering that news. And, of course, the presidents and the board of directors of the Retired Eastern Pilots Association, who, by the way, sponsor our show and give us a little bit of money that, well, it's a great deal of money to help keep us on the air. And so it's folks like the REPA and the Silver Liners that have been there for the former Eastern employees, kept us together as a family, and we hope that that's going to be the case of the new Eastern Airlines, that they will have the love that we had for our former Eastern Airlines, that they have for their new Eastern Airlines, and they will be able to put together some associations, organizations, maybe even a radio show. Heck, why not a TV show?
There you go.
By that time. There you go.
There you go. But we've had fun doing this. And last year, the radio show had the pleasure of and the honor of putting together the first annual Eastern Airlines Pioneers Reunion and Celebration, because we celebrated the old with the new. Very successful. And, folks, we're asking those that are thinking about coming to the Fort Lauderdale reunion again of the Eastern Pioneers to fill out your reservation, make plans for September the 23rd, 24th to be there, and especially the 24th, the banquet night, when we honor two individuals that have been very important in the history of Eastern. And lots of entertainment, great food, and modestly priced. And Dorothy, I think the cheap hotel rates are still available until when? August what?
They're available until August 23rd. Don't know if we can extend that at all, so we're encouraging everyone to please go out there. If you're planning on coming, call them and secure your reservation to be able to get the $129 rate. And that, of course, includes your happy hour and a full breakfast in the morning. So it's a very good rate for Florida. I don't think some of you folks out there realize the cost of hotels in our area are just usually out of sight. So we have done exceptionally well, Neil and Cecile, in getting that rate for all of you. So please join us. We're looking for the Eastern family to be there. We'd like to give the host that we're honoring a great welcome by having a good show of hands. So sign up now and join us. Back to you, Neil.
That's just a little over a month from now, and we encourage you to get your reservations. And just If you don't have a reservation, don't know how to get a reservation form, then you can email us at host at EAL Radio Show. That's very easy, host at EAL Radio Show. Or, Dorothy, you may have a contact number. How can they reach you?
Yes, they could contact me on the phone at 561-369-8881 or email me at dcgagnon@hett.net. Be happy to help
you.
Hello,
Neil.
Who's out there saying hello?
Yeah. Hello, Neil.
Hello, Jim.
Hello, Neil. This is Jim. We've had a total power failure here on the island.
Wow. Breaking news, breaking news, breaking news. I should
I
have the sound of breaking news.
I'm on my cell phone.
All right.
Okay. Well, Jim, thanks for the breaking news about Martha's Vineyard.
I'm sorry.
I wonder
please,
what the president's doing. I wonder if he's got power
me,
there
Neil.
Where he's staying.
Neil, he said he wants to continue without him.
I'm sorry.
Yes, I can. Thanks, Jim, for letting me know. Breaking news. Okay. We're the first to come with the news that Martha's Vineyard is without power. Okay. That's world importance. But the worldwide importance.
Can you hear me, Neil?
Yes, I can hear you, Jim.
Okay, very good.
Can...
I'll sign off now and find out what the problem is. But there's no lights anywhere in our neighborhood, okay?
Okay, well, Jim, right now we're going to bring Flight 280 in for a landing. Steve, it's all yours.
Okay, thank you, Neil. Goodbye, listeners and hosts. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yes,
Steve?
Yes, Miami Tower. This Eastern Flight 280. We're crossing a runway, crossing the Miami Beach shoreline about 15 miles out. We request a straight end to runway 27 right.
Eastern Flight 280, this is Miami Tower. You're clear for straight in to land on runway 27 right. The winds are light and variable from the west at 10 miles an hour. And the present temperature at the airport is a balmy 82 degrees.
Roger, Miami. It's Eastern 280. We're clear to land on 27 right.
Great landing, Steve. We had a great show tonight, folks. I'm the producer, and
thanks, Neil.
I enjoyed being with
you
tonight. You know, it's always fun when we talk about Eastern Airlines and the place we worked and the new Eastern Airlines. We feel we've truly earned the title of the radio voice of Eastern Airlines, and it's all because of you, our callers, listeners, guests, hosts, and sponsors. Our sponsors are Arepa and Homestead Funding. We look forward to our Eastern family and friends joining us next week as we broadcast our 281st show, traveling aboard our EAL radio show, Boeing 737-800. We hope you will be with us once again as we file our flight plan for a destination yet to be determined. So tonight we say good night, Eastern.
Good night, Eastern.
We love you.
Good night, Eastern. We
good
love
night,
you.
Eastern. We
good
love
night,
you, Eastern. Good night.
Good night. Good night. Until we meet again. Adios. Au revoir. I'll be there.